it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's the morning shift. It's almost time for the wake-up call, 404-726-0929. We did a good, bad, and the ugly earlier for the Atlanta Falcons. I did a good defensive aggression, bad second-half start, ugly, throws across the middle. If I missed one, please call in and let us know, 404-726-0929. It's also Which One Wednesday, some really good questions thrown out. I'm going to add a couple. I'm going to get Bo to weigh in just a second. Which one would you rather have win a championship this year, the Los Angeles Dodgers or the Ohio State Buckeyes? Which one would you rather have won a championship this year? And also, if you're picking a head coach for your college football team, would you rather have James Franklin or Lane Kiffin? James Franklin or Lane Kiffin? A little bit of a loaded question. One just got fired. One's number six in the country. But just think about it for a second.
Do you want me to answer?
Not just yet. Let's let Allie hit these headlines.
Yeah, getting you caught up before you clock in. Dodgers won the NLCS Game 2 against the Milwaukee Brewers 5-1. Dodgers lead the series 2-0. Game 3 is tomorrow. I really wanted to see a World Series with pocket pancakes, but whatever. It's not going to happen. Oh, I mean, it still could happen. We'll see.
Just calm down.
Blue Jays and Mariners meet tonight for Game 3 of the ALCS, and the NFL has suspended Detroit's Brian Branch for one game without pay after slapping Kansas City's Juju Smith-Schuster in the face.
Just the word of being like he slapped him in the face.
He did. That's what he did.
Punched him, open hand punch. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like saying he smacked him. Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't his hand open?
Yeah. I mean, it was like I think it was an open hand punch.
Well, that's smart because
you're going to break something.
It's a slap. He slapped him.
Yeah. That's what most people are saying, yes.
There's a term for that. I don't think we can use it, but.
What is it? I don't know.
I would rather, let's not say
okay.
it.
Okay.
Producer stepping in.
You know what he's talking about?
I don't either.
Yeah, no. I know what you're talking. Me and Bo are here. We're on the same page.
It's all right. So real quick, you can answer that question if you want to, Bo, about the Lane Kiffin.
Yeah, the Lane Kiffin will be Lane Kiffin. I'd rather have Lane Kiffin. If Florida is going to have an opening, I think, at the end of the year, maybe sooner, I would take Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Because, look, for one, James Franklin's been up in the Big Ten world for a while now. I know that he did coach in the SEC at one point when he was at Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
But Lane Kiffin is, if you're not winning championships, Lane Kiffin is more fun to be around.
Here's what I will say. I think that there are a few fan bases that are okay with the kind of trash talk that he does, and I think Florida's one of them. I think that he fits that. I just think because they've had Steve Spurrier, it just kind of flows. Like, I think they're just cool with it.
It fits. That's the problem. See, that's one of the things about Franklin is he is not the same the way he talks like publicly as Kiffin. Kiffin's a little looser, a little more like, you know, he wants to have fun. He wants the media to like him to an extent. That's why he does all the joking and takes the shots and will answer, you know, like dumb questions, like he was asked about who burns more calories during a football. That's a stupid question. James Franklin would be like, that's dumb. What are you talking about? I mean, we've seen his interaction.
Imagine somebody asking like Brian Kelly, like something like that.
Oh, well,
he'd be.
Actually, I think Brian Kelly.
Beside himself.
I think he asked you. I think Brian Kelly would like it because you're not asking about one of his failures on this team. Did you see? I know you didn't see this because you're not on Twitter like I am. Do you remember a couple years ago when the reporter asked James Franklin about letting Drew Aller just drop back and chunk it? You remember that? We talked about this. I know you got
it. I don't know. James, I can see it happening.
And James Franklin was like, I don't know what you're asking me. You know, just like, you just say, no matter what, I want you to take a shot down the field.
Was it like one of those foreign reporters during Super Bowl week?
No.
You know what I mean?
No, that's the problem. It wasn't. It was a guy who thinks he's a football guy,
savant.
Like a ball knower.
He's a ball knower.
And the guy goes, you know, I'm just saying, like, you know, you need to get his confidence going down the field. And just pick a play where,
Uncle
like,
Rico that
no
thing.
Matter what you're doing on this play, you're going to drop back and you're going to take a shot. And James Franklin was like, That's no, like we are
what
never.
What world do you live
we're
in?
We're never just going to say, I want you to drop back and throw it no matter what.
Yeah.
That guy took it. That guy took Sunday. He took Franklin's firing as a moment to dunk on Franklin.
Of course he did.
And say, oh, yeah. See, yeah. People are calling me out now, but it doesn't look so stupid.
But I can think of four people in this media market that would do the same thing.
Well, I took it as a moment to call that clown out. And I was like, really?
Did you?
I was like, you're using the dumbest question I've ever heard in a press conference as a moment to dunk on the coach that got fired for calling you out on it being a dumb question.
Yeah.
He didn't respond.
Guess what? He's got 49 million reasons that he's okay with it.
All right?
And that's just the way it is.
This is dumb.
Real kick, real quick, 15 seconds. Ohio State or LA, pick one.
LA.
You'd rather have LA win.
Here's why.
Okay.
Because with as busy as I am, I'm going to have less time to watch the World Series.
Okay.
I am absolutely watching the college ball playoff no matter what, and
that's
I do
fair.
Not want to see those guys win another title.
Yeah.
Not this year, anyways.
All right, that's fair. All right, this hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Let's do this. 404-726-0929. Got so much ground to cover. So let's go ahead and get straight to the phone lines. Let's welcome in our good buddy Anthony from Covington. Anthony, what's going on, man? Welcome back to the show. Happy Wednesday.
Good morning. Good morning. Happy Wednesday to everybody. Fearless leader, how we doing?
Good, sir. Are you?
Doing well. Queen of the morning shift. How we doing, Miss Allie Mack?
Oh, I'm doing amazing, Anthony. How there about you?
Doing fantastic. And the man himself, Mike Honcho. How we doing, sir?
You know, man, just living the dream.
Living the dream. Opie, go ahead and hit me with that. Went, went, went. Yeah. So I was a little rushed yesterday, but we're going to break it down just a little bit, man. I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, man, I'm full this morning. I had my breakfast burrito with my Bear and Burns breakfast sauce this morning. Y'all make sure y'all go to Publix and y'all pick that up. Also, I'm very hydrated. Sometimes, you know, you get dehydrated, you got to replenish that salt. I've been drinking these Auburn Tiger tears and these Buffalo Bills tears since Saturday. I tell you what, man, because what a game. Drake London coming out. Showing Auburn, Alabama, how you're supposed to extend across the goal line, not lose possession. Tyler Allgeier on the first touchdown run. I'm telling you, there is toughness with this team. And I am so proud of this team to call it my team because this is a team, I think, that embodies this city. The toughness, the grit, the swagger. I'm telling you, I love this team, man, and it's doing great. And for all the Falcons fans out there, y'all need to sit back and enjoy it because I'm telling you, we got something beautiful in the making with Bijan Robinson. MVP candidate, no doubt whatsoever. And I got a little fun fact for y'all, okay? So in 2009, Chris Johnson set single-season record for total yards from scrimmage,
yes,
right?
Yes, he did. Yep.
2,509 yards, right?
There you go.
In his first five games, he had 594 yards total, right? Bijan Robinson through his first five is currently at 822 yards.
Let's go.
We got a record-breaking season on the horizon, guys. I hope y'all have a fantastic Wednesday. Atlanta, be kind to one another. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the call, Anthony. If Bijan were to approach that number, Bo, do you think he needs to do it in 16 games? Would it feel empty if he had to do the 17th?
No, I don't think so. I mean,
yeah, I think it would be awesome either way.
I mean, it is what it is. All these records, we just got to live with it, unfortunately. They used to play 14 games, and all those records got broke by 16 games.
Man.
And nobody, you know,
it's one of those things where you remember the Mark McGwire in 98. They're like, well, you know, this guy did it in 54 games, and this guy, like, you know, the asterisk next to the Roger Maris.
Well, as long as we don't go to, like, the college football playoff thing where, the college football thing where, like bowl games and stuff now start counting counting towards records of one season.
Yeah.
As long as we don't start counting the postseason for regular season stats in professional sports, you're gonna have to live with the changes of sports make. I mean, stolen the bases are bigger now and you can only pick a guy out. You can only throw over a couple of times to first, and then there's a pitch clock as well, so it might be easier to steal a base now, but they haven't, you know, put an asterisk by that.
The 16 inning extra inning games are non-existent anymore because the extra inning setup.
Oh, except for that postseason one though.
That's a good point. That's a good
phenomenal
point.
Game.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to our buddy Dwayne over in Jonesboro. Dwayne, what's going on, man? Happy Wednesday.
Happy Wednesday morning,
let's
show.
Go,
Bo, Allie, and Mike. How y'all doing?
Hey, we're all living the dream, man. What's going on with you?
Man, that's a good thing to have in life. My wake-up call, I got two of them. The first one is to Parker Romo. because we about need to park that Romo, man. I'm just saying, Bo, I understand what you're saying. You know, kickers need an opportunity, a chance, or whatever. But you were brought in because what we had wasn't working. So you knew what you needed to do. Plus, we coming off of a bye week, so you should have been more prepared. This is 3 missed field goals in, what, 5-6 games?
Yeah.
5 games? So, yeah, man, we got to do better than that. And my next one is for the officiating crew. I'm not sure if you all had attention to the one play. I believe it was the sack that Rukoroho was involved in on, where they basically had Josh Allen bear hugged and just standing there, and the officials didn't blow the whistle.
Yep.
Now, had they slammed him or put him on the ground and fell on him, we'd have been called for a personal foul roughing the passer.
Yep.
So, again, you know, they need to be on top of that and immediately blow that whistle when it's like that, because he was surrounded by our players. So, thank y'all guys for taking my call. Y'all be safe. Have a good day.
Thank you, Dwayne.
That was Onyemata's
sack. I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that was Onyemata. It was smart of him not to try to slam him down.
Yeah, and the other thing was that I think 2 more Falcons came in and, like, stood right there with him.
Yep.
And Josh Allen literally gave himself up.
He did.
Onyemata
had his arm, so it's like, nothing I can do.
Allen kind of, like, went limp with the ball. he kind of made a motion to the referee with it.
Yeah.
And look. That was smart by everybody. And the officials, I think they were slow to – I'm going to give the officials the credit, a little bit of credit here. It's Josh Allen.
Right.
And so they held off until they saw clearly that he had given up. And Onyemata deserves the credit for not slamming. You're right. Allen also deserves some credit because he knew he couldn't go and he wasn't going to fight it, and he knew what the – the other part was. So,
I hear you. I agree.
I actually thought that was fine by everybody.
Hey, I know with Monday night's game, all our bearings are a little bit off, so we got to get our days straight. Today is Wednesday, and this Friday, we are hitting the road. You can join us at McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers for a special edition of the Morning Shift. That's us. We're going to be having breakfast, previewing the weekend's big college and pro football action, and we want you to join us. Everyone is invited except Skip, of course. I'm just kidding. That's Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. at McDonald's on Highway 138 in Conyers with the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9. The game coming up. We're going to hear from Raheem Morris. I know we've been talking about Monday night's game, but he's already looking forward to Sunday's game. And we've got a Life of Squid.
Finished the Netflix show, and I'm really still not sure what the hell I watched. It was really weird. Next morning, it's just Sports Radio 910 The Game and
the Odyssey app.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game at 8:24. I'm Allie Mack with Mike Johnson, Bo Morgan. Dylan is hanging out behind the glass. And it is a short week for the Falcons to turn things around. I know we're still basking in the win from Monday night. But what is the schedule looking like for the guys up at Flowery Branch this week? Mike, what were your days like?
Well, I think that, first of all, the day of the game, you do active recovery, and we heard from multiple guys when we were doing the postgame show. We played some of the cuts yesterday from guys like D. Alford, where it's like, hey, got in, you got to get in, you got to take care of your body, you got to be active. The whole thing where it's hot tub, cold tub, foam roller, maybe, you know, deep tissue, whatever else you kind of do on those days. But you had to go out and run around. I know people think that's crazy, but the day of the game, you have to go run around. We used to, when I was at Alabama, we did 10-40s. It wasn't timed. You're not sprinting for, you know, trying to run a 4:6:40, but you would go out and run 10:40s, and you would kind of get your body moving around and make sure that you're, you know, kind of flushing everything out. So I'm sure that yesterday, what they were able to do was at least get in, do some of that, and start the mental preparation. Unfortunately for them, they're probably going to be on the field today. They kind of have to be when you talk about the shortened week. And hopefully they can get their bodies back right. But I don't think they're going to do too much. I would assume a walkthrough maybe today. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. But the shortened week, that's what you deal with. And I'm sure they're going to feel it when they get out there.
I mean, do a walkthrough today and then do, Thursday, Friday practice, and then do a walkthrough Saturday before we take off.
Yeah. I think the biggest question for me would be what they're doing tomorrow in terms of the intensity of practice, but I doubt they'll be in full pads at all this week.
Yeah, well, they only have so many they can do anyways.
Yeah, when I was playing, it was 13 per year.
Yeah, I think it...
Which is nuts.
It might be 10 now. Maybe it's still 13. But look... The days of, you know, two-a-days, they're in training camp, full pads, tackle to the ground, and then you know, practicing with pads on every day during the season, those are long gone. And that's what this is. It's not like other teams aren't doing it very similar. I think everybody has their own way. But, you know, I always wondered about Victory Monday because we always would hear Victory Monday and everybody would get excited. And Coach Smith did a lot of that. But it's not... You think that, and you're like, oh, the players are all off. No, they're all there Monday morning.
Yeah, I was going to say.
They just don't have to do, like, Mike, correct me where you think I'm wrong, but my understanding of it during Monday was you come in, you get treatment, probably watch some film and everything, and then you're out of there by, like, noon. But a losing Monday was you come in, you get treatment, you watch film, you do a walkthrough. And then you have open locker room with the media, and then you go home. So it's like a half day between a full day.
Honestly, what you would usually do on a losing Monday, you'd have to watch the film with your coaches. Mm. And if you won, you would probably still watch film with your coaches at some point. But you'd come in on a, if he said, "Hey, see you Wednesday." You come in on a Monday, you'd probably watch it with just your peers, on a Monday. And that was the biggest difference for us. And Tuesday, a lot of people don't realize Tuesday is like your off day, almost. I would say 90% of the time these guys are out in the community doing something community related.
Especially the young players.
Especially the young players that basically can't say no. But almost always you're out somewhere on a Tuesday doing an appearance or doing something to help out the community.
That year we went from L.A. to Seattle right after the game. We played the Rams. Yep. I think it was 22. And play the Rams on a Sunday in L.A. We fly up to Seattle that night. Get in. We were actually in that little suburb that I always talk about that we go up there. I can never remember the name of Bellevue. And that Tuesday, they were like, "Hey, we're going to do out to this military base." And there's a joint military base out there that's a Air Force and an Army base. And it's such a large base that you drive all the way across the base for the Army side. And we were there all day. And it was like, wasn't the entire team, but it was a huge chunk of the team.
Yeah.
And you're there all day with community service stuff. Yeah, it was a really cool event.
Not to jump ahead, but I do have a question. Have you guys started getting your plans prepared for the Germany trip? Like, you got a departure date and everything like that?
No.
I was so curious if you guys would go straight from New England to Germany for the longest time. Okay. I mean, I knew it was kind of a...
Not that I know
of. Far-fetched idea, but I just wondered if they gave you, like, a secure, like, we need everything for you.
What they do... What they have done is they took my passport.
Okay.
The team has my passport.
Yeah.
So if you want to steal my identity, I guess break into Flying France.
Just remember to take your wallet.
Yeah, please don't. Yeah, you're right. I don't know if Germany does Apple Pay. I know England does.
Well, while we've been celebrating Victory Tuesday and still talking about the game today, Raheem Morris, rightfully so, has his eyes looking ahead towards Sunday's game and talked about it with the media yesterday.
The genuine history of Kyle. You know, he got ready for a tough downhill run game, and I know it hadn't been going up until this point for those guys throughout the season, but we know how quickly that can change. They've been doing a great job of going out there being efficient in their pass game. They play two quarterbacks that play well this year. They play receivers that's played well this year. Guys that have been with them, guys that have moved on with somewhere else and came back. With Kendrick Bourne being able to do stuff that he's doing out there this year, he's had two phenomenal games back-to-back. You know, they got the tough Jennings out there who's able to do a bunch of different things when he's healthy. I know he's been dealing with some things and fighting through all those different things, but they got a lot of really good football players on this football team, starting with Christian McCaffrey, obviously the most used player in football. And then you just got to talk about everybody on their offense, right? They get Kittle back. That presents another significant problem for him. And then on defense, they play fast. They play physical. They do a lot of similar things that we're going to do. So we want to get out there and get a great game versus these guys.
This is like a family affair. It's like a family feud right here because Salah was out there, well, with Ulbrich in New York, and he was a DC for Salah.
Yeah, good point, yeah.
And then Raheem was the wide receivers coach for Kyle Shanahan during the Super Bowl year. And there's a bunch of coaches that's been on both sides. This is a family affair right here. As much as, you know, Kyle and Rod know each other well, Ulbrich was the linebackers coach with Shanahan here. So they're all running a version. You know, when people say that the only offense we had to when we look at Zach Robinson and what he does, the only offense we have to go by is what Kyle Shanahan, I mean, what he did with McVay. It's not true because Minnesota runs the same offense. You know, they're running the same offense down in Houston to an extent. The, you know, everywhere in this league is just littered with Mike Shanahan disciples and his offense being taken and used in a different way.
Is Bobby Slowick in New Orleans now? Where is he at? I think he's in.
I thought he went to Seattle.
You might be right.
I'll look it up. I'll find it by the end of the segment.
Sorry. All right. There you go.
No, we got to figure out what Bo watched on Netflix because I already know that Mike and I are disappointed that it was not a known number.
Yes. So good.
I would tell you to go to Publix and get Baron Burton's W sauce, but Anthony already told us that. But go to Publix and get Baron Burton's W sauce, breakfast sauce too, and the Fire Shower. Bobby Slowick is the senior passing game coordinator for the Miami Dolphins. How's that working out? You know what?
I don't think you can put that all on him.
I was going to say,
we talked about when we talked about the Oklahoma State jobs, like if Zach Robinson leaves, would you have Mike McDaniel? I would.
Well, maybe. Well,
I would. I'd
you know what? In. Bobby Slowick might be
exactly.
available.
Exactly. That's exactly why I asked where he was, because I'm just keeping my eyes on all these guys around there floating around.
And let Dwayne still handle the offensive line. Slowick don't need to touch
exactly
that.
Exactly what it would be.
I watched Monster, the Ed Gein story, and I don't know if you guys are familiar with Ed Gein. But Ed Gein is essentially he is the real person that basically most horror movies were based off of. Psycho, which changed Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, which changed the horror movie
genre. Yeah.
And really how we view movies today by going in theaters and buying a ticket time. And that used to be then it was just you going in anytime you wanted was based on him. Chainsaw Massacre was based off of him. Silence of the Lambs, the Buffalo Bill character, was based on him. Serial killers based some of their things off of what Ed Gein did.
He's a sick man.
Very sick man. It's also a sick TV show. I am sitting there watching it, and I'm like, it's just uncomfortable.
What's the category? Is it docudrama?
It's, yeah, I think so. It's basically the exact same. It's the same series that did Dahmer and Menendez, Monster. They're going to do the Lizzie Borden story next. I actually want to watch that.
Jesus.
You know Lizzie Borden, right? I think everybody knows that. But it's just weird. It's got the guy from Sons of Anarchy, that Charlie Hunman, I think is his name is, and his voice is... Just his voice in it is the creepiest thing ever. And at the end of it, they take a lot of liberties, I think, with characters, the real characters, and probably what happened with them as far as the interaction with Ed Gein. But I think that gets me, I think, the most is they make him a sympathetic character because he's bat blank crazy. He ends up being diagnosed at the end of his day with schizophrenia, and they kind of level him. They talk about how they kind of get him a little bit normal with drugs. And it's just.
So should we watch it?
Yeah, I think you can watch it. I just did the last episode was out there, man. I mean, it felt like somebody had taken.
I saw the trailer where he's like sweeping, wearing the maid's.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, that was weird.
But the dude,
saw the trailer.
The last episode is the weirdest thing ever. The last episode felt like someone who had taken LSD for 50 years wrote it after doing LSD for 50 years.
Would you rather watch it again or For Love of the Game?
Hell, I'd rather watch For Love of the Game. I mean, and it's not because I like that movie. It's because it puts me in a better mind space than what Ed Gein did.
I'll watch Top Gun if you'll watch Unknown Number. How about that?
Shake on it.
Okay.
But you got to watch both of them. Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick.
But
the OG to start.
We'll get there.
All right. Coming up, we're going to shake off the heebie-jeebies. We've got NFL writer for NFL Media and NFL.com, Eric Edholm, will be joining us next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's
8:42, Sports Radio, 92.9 a game. It's the morning shift. My name is Mike. He's Bo. She's Allie. And Dylan, obviously, making all the phone calls back there. And I say that for one very good reason, because we are going to the phone lines right now to welcome in writer for NFL Media. That's Mr. Eric Edholm, friend of the show. Eric, welcome in. We're obviously riding very high here in the city of Atlanta, coming off the Monday Night Football win against Buffalo. Got a couple of questions about that game, first and foremost. I think that here's how I feel about this performance. We watched the MVP frontrunner and Josh Allen come in here. We've obviously already played Baker Mayfield. I look at what Bijan does for the Atlanta Falcons and what multiple other running backs do for their teams throughout the NFL, and I just can't for the life of me, Eric, figure out why running backs can't get more love in the MVP race. Bijan does everything for this team, but I think he still sits at like plus 15,000 odds or something like that. You know, what is it going to take for a guy like Bijan to get more love in that category, at least on a national scale?
Yeah, last year was a pretty interesting test for the MVP, you know, non-quarterback discussion. And obviously, I think running backs get the kind of volume you'd want in a player that's potentially an MVP candidate, right? They're touching the ball 300 times or more, and you know, you could see some pretty gaudy touchdown yardage totals. And yet, when Saquon Barkley, you know, sits out the final game of the year with a chance to smash the all-time rushing record, with hopes for, you know, obviously winning a Super Bowl, which he did, you know, he couldn't even get within sniffing distance of the top two. You know, he wasn't a real candidate technically last year. I know that's crazy to say, but, you know, Saquon was incredible. And I think Bijan is running on that same level right now. And that's unfortunately where I think we are. We've just sort of pinned ourselves into, okay, it's going to be either Allen or Jackson or whoever's playing the best, you know, this year, Mahomes, whatever. And, you know, I mean, look, I was covering the league when Adrian Peterson was MVP, and you know, it can happen, but this generation, the last several years, we haven't really had one technically come close, even in great seasons like that.
Well, Eric, the thing for me is, you know, I want to look at the defense, and I kept hearing people tell me, well, they haven't played. They've been playing backup quarterbacks. Defense really isn't that good. Well, they held Baker Mayfield to under 200 yards, and most people have him as the lead MVP candidate. They held Josh Allen in check to the point where, I mean, we haven't seen him that frustrated in years. I mean, is it time that we start talking about this defense as possibly the best in the league? I know the numbers look up with total yards and stuff, but I mean, this might be a legit best team in the best defense in the league right now.
Yeah, they've got a case, right? I mean, based on what we've seen so far, again, like you said, you want to see a bigger sample size and against more of the top competition. But you're right to point those two things out. We can't, you know, criticize them for not really having played anyone and not mention two guys who, I mean, I think Mayfield will be a very strong candidate in the MVP race this year. Allen, by name alone, he's going to have the ability to win the award if he has a strong second half. You know what I mean? So that right there has been pretty impressive. Obviously, you know, there have been times when the run defense has looked a little leaky this season, but hard to gripe with too much more, I think. I mean, off the top of my head, they're top five in just about every major category. And, you know, that's the thing I think that people have kind of overlooked, and especially with all the first round picks in recent years spent on skill position guys, you know, they built this thing carefully and you know, it took a few weird twists and turns, but they've gotten to this point where, you know, the rookie class that they just drafted defensively has come in and done an amazing job to complement an already strong group. So yeah, really, really fun stuff. I don't know that anyone came into the season saying, yes, Falcons are definitely a top five defense. But, you know, I watched a lot of them last year, and I thought, I think they're a little closer than people realize. You know, I mean, they have good players. It's just like the pass rush hadn't quite started yet, and, you know, they weren't making those sort of big, you know, takeaways and things like that. But, you know, this year the results have been a level up from what we've seen before.
Yeah, definitely a couple twists and turns in there over the last couple of seasons. Yeah. Eric, one of the reasons we love bringing you on the show is because we're hyper-focused on the Atlanta Falcons. It's been a little bit frustrating. I think it's been better than in years past, but
I think a lot of the conversation has been about what's wrong with Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills as opposed to what's right with the Atlanta Falcons, just from a national media perspective. Have you seen some of that feedback, or am I just trying to find something to be upset about?
You're just trying to – you haven't had your second cup of coffee, man. No, I'm kidding.
That's fair.
I will say this. I mean – Josh and the Bills have been on the spotlight for what, 6-7 years in a row. It's been them and the Chiefs and the Ravens and a handful, you know, Eagles and a handful of other teams. So part of this is because, look, we've gotten to know this guy. He's the reigning MVP. Everybody thought this is a Super Bowl caliber team, or at least in the mix. Like, I mean, I don't think anyone was saying Bills are definitely going to win it and there's no other candidates, but you know what I'm getting at. So some of that is like getting used to this. Wow. Eagles have lost two straight. Bills have lost two straight. You know, the Ravens are 1-5. Are we just forced to recalibrate everything at this point? So I think the Falcons love will come. Now, we're a couple weeks removed from 30-zip Panthers.
That's fair.
Which is going to go down as one of the stranger results. Even if the Panthers are good, I don't think anyone could have seen that result coming. But I think the love will come. I really do. I think that performance planted a seed in a lot of people's heads. And if they go out to San Francisco and repeat that and you know, play even better, then, boy, all of a sudden, like I said in my power rankings, I said, this win changed the trajectory for this team completely and the perception of it.
Yeah, we definitely want to forget about that 30-zip game as well.
Weird one. Yes, I don't know what happened that day.
It was very strange. We're joined by Eric Edholm, NFL writer on The Morning Shift. You did bring up them going out to San Fran. What should the Falcons be focusing on with the time they have while preparing for the 49ers?
Yeah, the injury list, I think, for San Francisco is what they should definitely be focused, because you don't know who's going to be available every single week. And I don't mean to make light of it. Like, I'm actually kind of stunned at how well they've performed week in and week out. You know, obviously lost last Sunday, but you know, I think Kyle Shanahan's done a really good job this year. And sometimes he gets, you know, Kyle gets banged on sometimes by the, you know, the NFL insiders and whatnot, and you know, for sort of his past mistakes and things like that. But boy, I just look at the product this year. They're playing extremely well. You know, their backup quarterback, who was starting last week, was limping through the entire game, still had to give him a chance at game's end to be in it. So, you know, they lost their top two defensive players for the year. Fred Warner is an absolute beast, probably the one true linebacker in this league where you say he is absolutely a massive difference maker on their defense. And Nick Bosa, obviously, a few weeks ago, too. And they're thin up front. I can imagine the Falcons are licking their chops at the run game possibilities, the play action possibilities, you know, using some heavier sets, too. I think that'll come with it. On the other side, the question is, you know, is Purdy back and is he ready to go? And who do they have at receiver? You know, is Ricky Pierce all in the mix this week? I can't remember looking at his injury report this week, but you know, getting him back is going to be huge. He was off to a tremendous start. So, again, I've been marveling at what they've been able to do with a lot of backup players. You know, some disgruntled guys like Juwan Jennings too. So it'll be a tough test. I don't think they just roll in there and do what they did to the Bills Monday night.
Yeah, it's also like a family affair. All these guys really know each other.
Yeah, true.
I mean, we were talking about earlier, Shanahan and Ulbrich were together with Raheem, and then Salah. Yep. So it's all over the place. But I actually wanted to ask you about Carolina, because you brought them up earlier. I don't think anybody saw 30-0 coming at all. But I also, the next week, they go and get just
destroyed.
Beaten. Yeah, I was trying to get the clean version of it by the Patriots. But hell, they've come out the last 2 weeks and won. Now they're sitting at 3-3. What do we make of this Panthers team?
Yeah, out of nowhere as well. I mean, that's the fun of this season. As I wrote this week, I just said, like, you know, it's anyone's game. And I'm not saying the Panthers are you know, gonna end up in the Super Bowl this year or anything like that. But I don't know. I was ready to kind of figure out what was next for Bryce Young, because he didn't start the year hot again. You know, he got benched early last season, came back, fought hard, played well. All offseason we said, all right, he's turned the proverbial corner, and then it seemed like he didn't. But last few games, he's been on point. You know, they've gotten Lee Gett more involved. You know, Tet McMillan, 2 touchdowns Sunday. He's become a force. You know, it's just a lot to like. Rico Dowdle, I mean, the guy who – didn't start the first three games of the year, four games, whatever it was, has like 500 yards from scrimmage, 473 or whatever it is the last two games. So they've gotten some offensive juice from places that they weren't getting it before. Defensively, they've been a little bit better too. Obviously, the debacle in New England was kind of ugly, but that Patriots team's playing pretty well right now. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to give them a ton of credit for beating a Dallas team whose defense is really taxed right now, you know, but you throw that in there with a couple other close wins and you say, or well, the one close win and then the one Falcons win, and maybe they're turning the corner a little bit.
Finishing up here with Eric at home from NFL.com. Eric, you know, speaking of other teams in the NFL, I can't let you go without asking you about this Mike Tomlin craziness with the Joe Flacco trade. Obviously, the Steelers facing off with the Bengals and Joe Flacco this coming up weekend. I don't know that I've – and I guess this is a two-part question. Are you shocked, or was it the right move that they actually made the trade inside the division for a starting quarterback? And what did you make of Mike Tomlin's reaction to this? I don't know that I've ever seen this kind of situation.
Yeah, a coach calling it, not a, I mean, I don't, again, Mike has been around long enough to where he can say, oh, he was playing it off as a joke.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, he can kind of twist this thing any way he wants, I think, and it won't be too bad for him or whatever. But it was fascinating to see another coach sort of name check another team's GM and essentially criticize the deal, right? Obviously, I think there was a little bit of tongue in cheek, but he was saying it was with purpose, I believe. So, yeah, the trade obviously shocked me. We were just about to tape our ranking, power ranking show when the deal went down. I thought, when was the last time you saw an in-season trade, interdivision trade for quarterback, right? And not somebody who's just like, okay, the seventh rounder you drafted from Kent State. No, this is a guy who's going to play and play right away.
Right.
And Joe did well. I mean, God, 5 days after arriving, he kind of carving up the Packers in the second half there. So fascinating. Yeah, we'll see. I think there was just a little fun-natured Brown-Steelers rivalry mixed in with that comment.
Well, hey, man, we always appreciate your time. Hopefully the Falcons can keep it rolling, and we'll catch up with you again
yeah.
soon.
All right, looking forward to it. See you guys. Have a good morning.
Thanks, man.
That is Eric Edholm from NFL.com. Hey, make sure to join the morning shift. That's us every Friday for the tailgate at home. It's presented by Publix. Bo Morgan, who sits to my left, will fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes. And you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the morning shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Any idea what you're firing up this week, Bo?
No, but I thought about having some steak tacos. So that means a little flank steak.
I was gonna say, you got a West Coast trip coming up, man. Maybe a nod to San Francisco or something in there.
Well, that would be tacos.
There you go.
They have good fajitas out there.
Giving you the credit.
Yeah. Well, this hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Thanks again to Eric Edholm for joining us today. We got to go. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to
go eat some steak tacos, Atlanta.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly what people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
think
of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.